Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Olala and I are in the studio again this morning with our cups of coffee and our Bibles, and we have been talking, Doc, about a group of people that really serve as a frightening example to us in our day. We started with the question, what makes a good ministry go bad? And you gave us a great statement. You told us that a good legacy does not guarantee a good history, a good tomorrow. And we're seeing that in our churches. We're seeing that in ministry. We're seeing it in our own families. You know, families that started out strong in the gospel, and then two generations later, you don't see them even in church anymore. And so we found an Old Testament pattern in the people of Ephraim, and you gave us some great ideas out of Psalm 78:9. Why did these people turn back in battle? You talked about their ancestry descending from Joseph. They were comfortable. They tolerated compromise. They were cowardly. They became carnal. And you really kind of took us through their history, from Joseph looking really good with all of the things they had, and then that one compromise in Judges where they kept the Canaanites that God told them to drive out. And then by the time they get to the book of Hosea, they're gone. There's nothing. God says, don't even talk to them.
Let her alone. Well, we're going to look today at the problem. And if you've been following, and if possible, you can get the copies or pull these up.
Yeah, this is our third broadcast. Yeah.
And the history of our text is Psalm 78:9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We saw the people group. We saw the protest. Now look at the problem. How did this begin? What was the digression that allowed this to happen? And we'll look in Psalm 78 in verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. Step number one, you see a weakened conviction that led later to wicked conduct. Now, I want to give five steps of the weakened conviction that we see in this passage. And the first step of a weakened conviction is a weak heart that said, and kept not their heart aright. Proverbs says very carefully, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are we maintaining the personal life? Are we maintaining the intimacy with God? And that goes back down to the Word. Are we in prayer? Is the Word more than just an academic book to us? Is it truly our heart food? Is it our soul food?
Yeah, the basics.
The basics of life. And are we letting the personal life slip? You remember back in Ezekiel when the glory of God was departing. The glory of God always pictured the presence of God. They were very sensitive to know the presence of God. Well, Ezekiel saw the departure. The glory was in the Holy of Holies. Then he saw the glory
kind
depart
of
to the holy place. Then from the holy place to the temple courtyard. From the temple courtyard to the Mount of Olives. Then he saw the glory depart from the Mount of Olives, and then it was hundreds of years of silence. Old Testament God the Father was in touch with people. But now the glory was gone. That presence was gone. Hundreds of years of silence where there was no word from heaven. And Ezekiel wanted to know why. And in chapter 8 of Ezekiel and following, if you're interested in looking that up, you will see that there is a departure, a slow departure. He said, you want to know why? He took Ezekiel. You remember what he did? He said, go through that door, go down that hallway, look through that hole in the wall, and see what? That which was going on in the chambers of the imagery of the priests of Israel. God says it's not what is seen publicly. It is what is going on in the individual heart of those who are responsible for giving the spiritual direction. And if you follow through the book of Ezekiel and you follow that departure through the book of Ezekiel, you will see that it started with the decay of the personal life and the personal life of those who are responsible for leading. So step number one was a weakened heart. And you say, is my heart strengthened each day in the Word? Do I get up and just take off? How do I spend my first waking hour generally?
Yeah.
It will normally tell us what is number one in our lives. And if a part of that first waking hour...
That's pretty convicting.
God is not involved in that first waking hour, my focus on Him, my praise of Him, my prayer to Him, my feeding from His Word, then I'm pretty much on my first step of personal decay.
Yeah, I've weakened my heart, in other words.
Yeah, weakened heart. Then weak spirit, verse 8, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. When my heart begins to weaken, I lose my steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that was the end of the resurrection chapter. Paul is saying, therefore, based on the fact that we have this resurrection power within us, be steadfast, unmovable. Mm-hmm. But when my heart decays, I forget these truths, my spirit weakens, and when my spirit is weakened, I'm no longer committed.
Mm-hmm.
How many people can we think of who were once committed to church?
I was just thinking that.
Who were anxiously there. But you see, you start seeing their spirit wane. You read their face.
Yeah.
You're in the pulpit preaching. You read their faces.
Yeah.
And boy, there's something going on there. Well, it's happened to heart, whether it's bitterness, whether it's neglect of the Word, whether it's a lack of intimacy with God. And then the spirit begins to weaken, and they're no longer steadfast. And then what is affected, verse 10, their will. And they kept not the covenant of God. So the will then, okay, I'm not, yeah, I know I covenanted to do this. I really made the covenant to be in the Word and to pray, and I made the covenant. I'm going to witness to at least one person a week or whatever that decision may have been. And then the guilt trip begins because they said their will has weakened.
Yeah.
And rather than coming to God, the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times and get up, but the wicked fall and stay down. So they have a weak will, a covenant that is not kept.
A vow they made or a promise they...
A vow or promise that was made, and now in their mind, I'm not going that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when Joshua said, as for...
Me and my house.
Me and my house. I don't know about you. They said, oh, God forbid that we should do anything but serve God.
And then by the time they get to the book of Judges, everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes.
Right. But when they said, God forbid, Joshua said, okay, this is going to be recorded on a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to do with kids coming from camp. I used to give them camp books. And in September, I'd march them by the rock. I said, let's see now, the covenants that you wrote down in your life book from camp, let's march by that in September and see.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joshua said, we'll march you by this rock.
Yeah.
You've made this covenant. Are we going to keep that covenant?
It's a perpetual reminder.
Perpetual reminder.
Yeah.
And then their feet weak in verse 10 and refused to walk in His law. So it started with the heart, the spirit, the will. Now the feet are no longer walking in the direction that God has for them to walk. And it says they refuse to walk in His laws. And obviously, I start developing my own ways and going in my own thing. And then verse 11, and forgot His works. Why, oh why, when we came here, did we say the first thing we've got to do in chapel on Monday mornings?
Works of God.
The works of God, so that we do not forget His works. Do we need to be convinced God is alive in this generation? This is not some concept that we study. This is a live reality that we apply to our lives on a daily basis.
I don't want to divert you from your thought here, Doc, but really you've just given us a huge thing, and I want to make sure our listeners get it. A weak heart is where it starts.
Yes.
And then it leads to a lack of fervent faithfulness.
Yes.
To the life that God's called us to live. Like you were talking about church attendance, just being faithful and excited about the things of the Lord, His Word, which then leads us to weak will. We stop saying no to the things we told God we weren't going to do anymore.
Yes.
Or we stop fulfilling the things we told God we would do. And that then leads us to our feet, ending up going where our flesh wants them to go rather than where we know the Lord would rather have them. And then all of that comes back to a weakened mind. And the whole point of Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the way that we stop being shaped by the world is by being transformed through the renewing of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this pattern is really key for us. That weakened conviction led to something.
Wicked conduct. It says 3 times in Psalm 78, you'll see they turn back. You see in verse 9, they turn back in the day of battle. So they turn back in warfare. Then you see in verse 41, yea, they turn back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's quite a statement.
Wow.
Limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. There again, what did they forget? They forget how God worked in their life. They got so wrapped up in the now. And so they turned back in their walk. And then, verse 56 through 58, they turned back in their worship. Yea, they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimony. Mm. Whenever you see they provoked him, it was always in relationship to idols. Mm. They have built idols. But, verse 57, turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. A deceitful bow is an unstrung bow. You see that also in Hosea. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. Mm-hmm. So they turned back in war, turned back in walk, turned back in worship. Mm. They had done a complete reversal of God's intended way for them. So they became cowards in the fight. They became carnal in their daily communion and walking with God. And we see that there is a whole different direction that takes place.
You know, it's interesting how you've ordered that, because Ephesians says you're in a battle. When you refuse to fight, pretty soon you're not walking in holiness. And when you're not walking in holiness, you're not qualified to worship.
Yes.
And that pattern is really right there out of this Old Testament passage. I mean, we've got churches full of people who aren't qualified to render acceptable worship because they turned back in the day of battle in some area of their life. And that turning back produced even more carnality. I mean, that seems to be what I'm picking up from what you're saying.
But there is a soothing by these group meetings.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a soothing. Boy, I just feel soothed. Well, does it drive me to obedience? Does it drive me to holiness? Does it drive me to a reflection of what God is really like? Or does it give me liberty to live any way that I choose to live and claim that grace gives me this freedom? Hey, we are saved by grace, but not to live in disgrace.
How does a person who's in this situation fix it?
Psalm 80. Three times in Psalm 80, turn us again, O God. Mm. Turn us again, O God. You see, in Psalm 80 and verse 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Then you see in verse 7, turn us again, O God of hosts. It gets more intense. Then we see in verse 19 of Psalm 80, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. And really, it's a cry for revival. They said, we have gone, we have drifted. We were this vine you brought out of Egypt. You see, Israel is pictured as this vine that was brought out of Egypt. But all of a sudden, the walls were going down, the hedges were knocked over, and the enemy came in.
So the Lord gives us the opportunity to be together again for the next broadcast. May the Lord bless you.